Merry Christmas! It's awesome to be here again. Can you imagine this is my sixth time being here for Christmas? Man, I've been here a long time already. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Beautiful evening. It's wonderful to see so many here. It's awesome to be here this evening, to spend time with family and friends, to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. There actually could be many reasons that many of us are here, and I just thank God that we're here. We could be here because we're thankful for the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. We might be actually spending an evening sitting next to Mom and Dad for Christmas, and maybe here to hear the Christmas story, to bring back those memories of childhood, to be encouraged by that. We might be here to sing and to sing the praises that bring back so many memories. Some of us actually just might be here this evening because we really enjoy the closing of the candlelight service and singing Silent Night. No matter what the reason is, I'm just thankful to have you all here. Looking in this sanctuary, I can actually feel the thankfulness from each and every family member when you're sitting here with us. And I'm thankful that you're here. We've taken different paths to come here this evening, there's no doubt about it. But we're all here, I honestly believe, by the same means. Being brought here by the means. And what I mean by this is, what is the action that has brought us here? And I know that there's many that would be expecting me to say, we're all brought here by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I believe that. But I also understand not each and every one of us may understand that at this moment. But I do think that we are all brought here by the same action, the same means, and that is love. We may have a love for God, family, memories, music. Either way, we are motivated by love to bring us here. And I rejoice in that fact, because actually the Word tells us that God is love in 1 John. With that in mind, I want to say welcome to Zion. We are honored to have you all here, and we pray that your evening will be a wonderful evening. Our sermon text for this evening will be taken from Mark. And I'm going to read a pretty familiar part of Scripture. We're going to read from chapter 12. We're going to read verses 41 through 44, continuing in Jesus' name. Please remain seated, as there's a lot of people here. And we can relax. Continuing in Jesus' name. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and that many were rich cast much in. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and he said unto them, verily I say unto you, this poor widow has cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. For all they did cast of their abundance, but she of her want cast in all that she had, even all her living. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this night and every night henceforth. Amen. As some of you have been here over the years, I don't have a tendency to preach the Christmas story. I did last year, actually, from Luke. But I like, in reality, to see how this all comes together in the drawing of God, how he operates and how he motivates and how he works. And this is just kind of an interesting thing. This text reveals a lot about God and his word. We live in a very interesting time. We live in a time in this world where we're always trying to push to the next phase. I don't know if you feel it or not. It seems like we're always in a hetta. We're always hurried. We're always busy trying to achieve the next step. Keeping up with the times. Keeping up with the people around us. And we realize that this world, whether it be our casual life or our business life, it doesn't wait for anybody. It just doesn't. We work harder and harder to keep up with family, friends, schoolwork. We try to just always achieve the next step, the next phase. We try to keep up with shoes, clothing, cars, homes, trips, education. Actually, just about every consumable in our life, it seems that we have a tendency to do. It's promoted everywhere with television, radio, internet, ads, billboards, whatever it may be. And we start to really think that we have the best. You know, Android 7, I was all thrilled over that. And the next generation is introduced. It keeps us chasing. It's actually overwhelming, to say the least. There's no way around that. And this can actually make us to think that we're never going to be good enough. Doesn't it get tiring? It actually does. I have to admit, I actually get caught up in this myself. Sometimes wishing that I had a little more, something a little newer. And I really love to tell you that religion doesn't have this problem. But it does. Unfortunately, when humans get involved, things get messed up. They get messy. Looking in churches, we can actually see that the struggle continues. And it gets very difficult. We start to ask, say, within the religion, who's worthy, who's in, who's out? Do I do the right works? Do I commit enough things? How, in reality, do I keep up? Am I spiritual enough? Am I living humble enough? Do I have to confess enough? Do I actually dress right? Can I sing well enough? Have I given enough to the church? There are so many thoughts that we could add to this list. I know you have your own. And sometimes we feel inferior. It's so overwhelming. We came here this Christmas Eve, no doubt about it. It's a beautiful night for worship. We really enjoy it. It's awesome. We got this old 24-year-old building cleaned up. We all worked hard. There's no way around that. The candles are actually cleaned up and ready to go. The hymns were all gone through one more time. We wrote the program out. We handed out the parts. They practiced the parts. There's no way around that. Make sure we enunciate just right. Our timing was spot on. We chose only the best songs and practiced to deliver. I got my Bible out because I want to impress. I got my computer, pot of coffee. I read through the Christmas story umpteen times. Father, just let me find one nugget that nobody's seen before that I could just blow them away. I got to take this candy out of my pocket, Bill. It's making noise. With deep thought and study, I found nothing new. Nothing new to offer you. Reading the Word, I came to the understanding. Jesse, it's not that difficult. I felt the Spirit really saying, stop. Christmas actually is about stopping. I was telling my wife, the holiday seasons are beautiful. Yes, they're beautiful because of Christ. Yes, they're beautiful because of all the other things going along with it. But you know what? They're beautiful because they make us stop and spend time with family. To show other people we care. Jesse, it's not that difficult. Stop. Just as the angels came to the common shepherds, Jesus comes to us in the glory of God. The kingdom of God is not like the demands of this world. I don't have to be perfect, rich, strong, a superstar to honor God. I don't have to have the perfect dress. I don't have to know everything to be saved. Salvation is by grace through faith in Him. Pastor, you read a text. Are you going to get to it? I want to go home. I want to open some gifts. I got pizza to eat. Consider our text. And Jesus sat over against the treasury. And he beheld. Jesus was watching. The thing that we think he's not doing. See, and I think this holds me accountable. This holds all of us accountable. That God is watching. Not in a threatening way. He's observing what we're doing. Is it about me? He was over watching. Jesus watches what's happening there in that temple. There's no way around it. And there's a lot of giving that's going on. Because he sees that the people were casting money into the treasury. And it says very plainly, those that had great wealth, those that had this abundance, they were cashing in. They were giving out a lot. But there was this poor widow. And it's kind of interesting. Because we kind of take this as, wow, many rich gave. That's pretty impressive. Yet it didn't seem that impressive to Jesus. Actually, if we were to go back to the Old Testament tithing, this would be very normal. But actually, there was one that caught his attention. The poor widow. Can you imagine that? In all the pomp and circumstance of what's going on there, in all the direction of all the high and mighty that are dumping into the coffers, the widow catches her attention. Sometimes we think we have to keep up. We have to have more, produce more, do more. And then we'll be noticed. Being named as a widow, she actually had lost her husband, there's no doubt about it. And then actually in this account, in this tradition of time, she would be left without a provider. If she did not have a son, and we're not told whether or not she did, she wouldn't even have a voice. I know that's old school, but this is 2,000 years ago, so let's say it was old school. She didn't actually even have a voice in society, but yet she's spoken of here. She brought two mites. You know that's about a penny? One mite is about a half a cent. A penny! What will a penny actually do? In the great scheme of trying to be productive, in the great scheme of trying to keep up with everything, what would a penny do? A penny really is nothing. Did you hear that? A penny is nothing. Unless you only have a penny. Then it's everything. We can feel this way when we compare ourselves with this world. What do we have to offer? Sadly, we also feel this way oftentimes when we look in the church. We may come here and we may see all the glittering things. We may see the talent and praise God for talent because it's by His hand and we have it. We see the structure of the service. We see the symbolism. And we can become overwhelmed. We can ask ourselves, no matter who we are, where do I fit in? What can I add? Who am I? Have you ever felt that way? When you come to a church service and it seems overwhelming? Many overlooked the widow in the account we read of and her penny. But this is what I want you to know. Many overlooked her. But Jesus didn't. He saw her. She came and she trusted above and beyond the pomp and circumstance going on in that temple scene. And she gave all she had. She gave much more than a penny. She gave of herself in faith. Where do we fit in? We fit in His grace. What can we add? By grace through faith, we honor Him with our lives. Who are we? We are the children of God. Our sin debt is paid in full. You see, God desires for us to know who we are in Jesus Christ. Not to be dictated by the world, our value. It's not about what we can do. It is about trusting in Him and what He has done for us. And that's what we celebrate in this Christmas season. I hope we can see the account of the widow is much bigger than monetary. It's not about money. It's much bigger than just giving. It's about faith. And in that faith, knowing God sees you and He will take care of you. Christmas is about stopping and taking notice. Christmas is about stopping and meditating and listening. Christmas is about God loving you. We get caught up in the world and in the rhetoric. We pick up arms over religions. And that's gross. Christmas is about God loving you, that He sent His Son. He loved you so much, He took notice of you. And He receives you by faith. And He receives you through the redemptive work of His Son, Jesus the Christ. Friend, God loves you. He sees you. And He desires for you to trust Him. It is His desire that each and every one of us will see in His great work and also in that desire to bring to a world that needs to hear it. God offers you hope at Christmas so that you can have that peace. And having this peace, that you would be full of joy. That's the pink candle. And it is all in reality so that you can love. Because God loves us. And it all centers in Christ. That's something I've been repeating to the congregation through the whole month of the whole time of Advent. Is that we have a hope, the first candle. We have a peace, the second candle. And we have joy. And then we can love. And it all centers from Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't want to tell you about religion. That makes me sick. I don't want to tell you about pomp and circumstance. I'm not here to tell you about anything that I can produce or what I can do. We want to share the love of Jesus Christ with you. As you get together tonight and we sing that last hymn, and I don't like to play on emotions, but as we are moved, because it is emotional, think of those words. And think of how much God loves you. And if He can love you that much, can we love one another? Merry Christmas. For God is good. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift His countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.